All rise.
Ready to hear argument in 070147 in Ray Kala Davis, Melvin Hurst III, and Ann B. Heard.
May it please the court, Mr. Enoch will present argument for the relators. Relators have reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Please the court, someone told me coming into the courtroom today that the anniversary of the repeal of prohibition was yesterday, so how appropriate it is for us to be here today.
Did you celebrate?
Here we go. I told him I had a glass of scotch last night, but I didn't know it was in honor of that. May it please the court, as recently as 2 years ago, this court stated that access to the ballot lies at the very heart of a constitutional republic. And the court emphasized this point by quoting from the United States Supreme Court that said access to the ballot must be real and not merely theoretical. Now, our Texas Constitution, Article 16, Section 20, says that the legislature commands the legislature to enact laws whereby the qualified voters of a justice precinct may, by their vote, determine from time to time whether the sale of intoxicating liquors or beverages for beverage purposes shall be prohibited or legalized. And responding to that command, the legislature enacted the Election Code, Section 501.021, which says, on proper petition by the required number of voters of a justice precinct, the commissioners shall order a local option election. I'd like to point the court to the exhibit. This is the existing precinct boundaries in Dallas County. In the middle, the peach-colored design, if the court can see it, you can't see the numbers, is Precinct 3. Kala Davis, Melvin Hurst, and Ann Hearn circulated petitions for, asked for an election in, and had their petitions certified for an election in Precinct 3. And the Constitution says that when they do that, they're entitled to have an election in Precinct 3. When this litigation began, Dallas County took the position that it had discretion not to order that election.
But what about the Alcoholic and Beverage Code? That's the tough point here, is the same people who voted way back when get to decide that question, right? I mean, they all have to vote.
Well,
such status shall remain in effect until the status is changed as a result of a vote in the same territory that comprised the precinct when such status was established. I mean, how do you get around that?
Well, I think you beg the question by saying the voters back then get to vote. This court in 1946 says that the Texas Constitution does not require the impractical or the impossible. So I suggest the court must look to what is a reasonable application of both the Constitution and the Texas statutes. And I'll point out how this works together. The county said it had discretion. Well, the statutes and case law are very clear. The county has no discretion on ordering an election when there's a proper petition filed. So the question is, was there a proper petition for a vote in Precinct 3? And there was. It met all the criteria for the law. Today, it cites no authority for its position that really what we needed to do.
Well, you say it meets all the criteria for the law, but what about all the people outside of the district that the Alcoholic Beverage Code says have to vote that would not allow them to vote?
No, they get to vote. They get to vote, Your Honor. In fact, their position is not now that they didn't have that they had discretion not to call the election. Their position is that what we should have done is circulate a petition for a different precinct getting different signers on a precinct. So in other words, their position is if, under the Constitution, we seek a local option election in Precinct 3, Constitution says we're entitled to, If we seek it in Precinct 3, their position is, no, you must go seek petitions for a different precinct, for a different precinct. They cite no authority for a different precinct. We agree that the Constitution says that if a precinct prohibits the sale of alcoholic beverages, then that stays there. That's held until the voters in the precinct vote elsewhere. The legislature chose to interpret that. Now remember, the Constitution doesn't require the impossible. The legislature chose to interpret that to say, if the boundaries of the precinct changes, here's what we do. The commissioner's court may hold the local option election in the boundaries of the historic precinct that had voted dry. Simply put, we submitted a petition, properly so, for Precinct 3.
Do you have to go back and get signatures from the old boundaries, from citizens that live in the old boundaries?
We believe not, Your Honor, because all that is a process to initiate an election. It says nothing about who the qualified voters in that election will be. As a matter of fact, you could get all of the petitions signed in one neighborhood of a precinct and still call the election for everybody else in the precinct. That's just a threshold interest showing to hold an election for those. But we called it for that. What happens? Precinct 3 has territories that had been a part of historic precincts that voted dry. So the question under the legislation that the voters of the old district must be included in the vote produces this kind of map. Precinct 3 is the blue. There was a historic Precinct 2. That's this orange color.
It's like a congressional district map.
It is. After the federal courts get through with it as well. There was historic Precinct 3 that also prohibited the sale of alcoholic beverages that now, because of the redrawing of lines, are overlapped by Precinct 3. That's what this map now looks like. What happens? The Commissioner's Court initially took the position, well, it's too difficult to do. Well, actually, that map was put together over about a two-week period, but it's not impossible to do. And the Constitution says, if I get the petitions, no, the Constitution doesn't say anything about petitions. It says, as a citizen of a precinct, I am entitled to have an election either to legalize or to prohibit the sale of alcoholic beverages. There is no option to not have it by the legislature. But how do we do this? How do we do this to make the election real and not theoretical? I disagree with the points that you only do it in two. Of course, that was the county's first suggestion. Or you even do it only in three. It's a question of who the qualified voters are. Let me describe. By Constitution, the voters of a precinct that set dry vote before it goes wet. By legislation, now that we redraw lines, the legislature says if you redraw the lines, the territory of the original area must be included in the vote. Here's how it works. The election gets called. It does incorporate areas that under old precincts were prohibited to have sales of alcoholic beverages. So those voters in those districts must be included. How does the election work? The same proposition is on the ballot. Who are the eligible voters? The eligible voters are Precinct 3 plus all voters that are in the historic districts of the precincts that voted dry that are touched by this precinct.
How do you eliminate voter confusion? Because wouldn't there be some people in the old district that are no longer in Precinct 3 who think they're going to be paying this to benefit themselves?
Suggest no more confusing than any other election where there are a number of voters voting, but depending on where they are in the county,
They're voting for certain candidates and voting for not.
But if the population has shifted such that the new Precinct 3 is much more dense than the old historic district, then the vote will be determined by that precinct rather than by the old district, correct?
I disagree, Your Honor. How do you count the votes? By legislation, what votes count for what part of this precinct? These voters simply vote for Precinct 3. These voters vote for their Precinct 3, but their vote must be counted with the historic vote by statute. These voters count for Precinct 3, but their vote must be counted with the voters in the historic precinct. That's what the legislation asks for. Is it difficult for the election certifier, the election counters, to take precinct by precinct by precinct and simply, by calculating the precincts here, determine if there was a majority vote in that these historic district for this area of the precinct? Is it too difficult for the vote counter to count the precincts right here and determine if within these precincts there was a majority vote to change the wet dry status of this area? It seems to me that is not a difficult answer, and it solves a critical problem. By constitution, Precinct 3 is entitled to vote on its wet dry status. By legislation, the legislature has attempted to resolve the problem of a constitutional provision that didn't anticipate that over time our civilization would require lines to be redrawn for political subdivisions. And the legislature has tried to balance that, going back to the notion the Constitution does not require the impossible or even the impractical. It seems to me the practical solution, they order the election, they've already drawn the lines, and the effect of the election depends on who the qualified voters for the particular area of the precinct are. Because this area voted dry and that very voted dry, the qualified voters for the purposes of determining the change status here and the change status here are in the historic districts.
The area light blue didn't vote before?
There was, as best we can go back 150 years or so, we don't think there was ever a wet dry election here. The election that's called is to permit, what is the line, Yoda and Luke Skywalker's out there, and Yoda says, do, don't do, there is no try. Under the liquor election laws, you can vote to legalize, or you vote to prohibit. There's no kind of, you're not one way or the other. If they don't vote to legalize, that doesn't make them dry. You have to have an affirmative vote to prohibit, or you have to have an affirmative vote to go with. The status simply does not change here. Doesn't make a difference. The citizens can call for a legalized or prohibit election in a precinct, and by proper petition, the commissioner's court must order that. The question is, as even the county admits, who are the qualified voters for the purposes of this kind of election? And we think the solution is that the qualified voters are of the historic precincts, but the ability to call the election is in the hands, as the Constitution says, of the citizens of the precinct.
This election was properly petitioned within the precinct with the proper number of signers and was properly called by the election administrator.
If the people in old 3 vote dry and the people in new 2 vote wet, depending on how the blue area votes, looks like the majority would be for wet. If you had the election like you say and the people in old 3 vote dry in the green part.
In the green part?
Yeah.
Yes.
If they vote dry, and the people in old 2, the peach part, vote wet, then the majority, it looks like, just land, taking land area, the majority of the existing precinct is going to be wet, depending on how the blue area votes, I guess.
I think you're correct. Whatever happens, because of the legislation, whatever happens to this area is solely dependent on the majority vote within this area. Whatever happens to this area is solely dependent on the majority vote of this historic area. Whatever happens to this area is solely dependent on the majority vote of the blue area.
I see.
But the question will be the same, Your Honor. The question on
the existing precinct may be partly wet and partly dry.
That's correct, as it is now, as in other areas, but the legislation simply mandates that.
We believe the Commissioner's Court does not have a discretionary duty not to call the election. We believe the Constitution doesn't require the impossibility. We think that's the solution, and it's a matter of simply determining the qualified voters and counting the votes.
Thank you. The Court is ready to hear argument from the Real Party in Interest.
Please the Court. Mr. Breno will present argument for the Real Party in Interest.
Mr. Brenner, that seems easy enough. You got the scheme right there laid out for you. Why can't the county just call the election and follow that map?
Because there's a certain continuity to elections. The process is that we start with an application, and that application has 10 signatures on it, of qualified voters. Qualified for what?
Well, have the voters' qualifications been challenged?
No.
Okay.
They are qualified to vote in Precinct 3. Which is not qualified to vote itself dry. The next step is those qualified voters have an application for qualified voters to sign the petition. And in the case, and it's in our exhibits in our response to the writ of mandamus, the application says Precinct 3, election in Precinct 3, nowhere else. The petition says election in Precinct 3, nowhere else. Upon going to the commissioner's court, and you can read this, I believe it's in the their brief, the transcript, as well as in their arguments today, they are saying that the petition goes further than that, not just Precinct 3, but also to pre-existing precincts, old Precinct 2 and old Precinct 3. The problem with that is you destroy the continuity of the process.
Well, isn't that what the statute says they have to
do? No, it's not what it says.
It seems like you're putting up hurdles to prevent this rather than...
Say the question again. I couldn't hear you.
It seems like you're putting up obstacles.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This starts with the Constitution, and this gets to your question, Jeff. In the Constitution, Article 16, Section 20, it says that when a place is voted, a precinct is voted one way or the other, it shall continue to be unlawful to be wet in any such county or precinct until such time as a majority of the qualified voters in such county. The case of Coker versus TABC out of Dallas County defined that as the way it says. The word such refers to the old historic precincts. What should have happened here is there should have been a drawing of the pre-existing Precinct 2 and the pre-existing Precinct 3. Now, in their briefs, they look at that and they sort of make light of it by saying what Dallas County is advocating is an election in a non-existent precinct, but this court has determined otherwise. 1937 or 8, Houchins case, the Houchins, I think, is versus plaintiffs, involved a municipality, but this court said in that case that it doesn't make any difference for purposes of local option elections. The idea is that once an area, however small that area is, once an area votes itself dry, that area, only that area, may then vote itself wet.
Well, then, so do you agree with the petitioner that there should be an election in old Precinct 3 to determine whether they should be wet or not?
They should go to whatever old precinct voted themselves dry. If that's old Precinct 3, correct. If that's old Precinct 2, correct.
Well, is there a
question about that? Did
they haven't been part of the petition.
Didn't Old 2 and Old 3 vote themselves dry?
Yes, they did.
So, for that to change, for those areas inside the new precinct, your view is that those areas would have to vote?
My answer would be that it has nothing to do with the new precinct. It has to do with the old precinct. And the reason is, and this is the court that said it, the old precincts continue to exist.
So what do you have to do?
What you have to do is...
You said they have to draw the boundaries. Okay. Draw the boundaries. Got them right there. Now what do they have to do?
They have to get an application and a petition within those boundaries. And the reason that's important is because the petition is what gives the commissioner's court jurisdiction to call the election.
And the petitions all have to come from where?
It has to come from the historic precincts that voted themselves dry.
So do you have to have the entire number of petitions from Old 2 and from Old 3?
That's where you're seeking to become wet? Yes.
So you have to get the entire number of petitions, 50,000 something?
However much the population requires.
Well,
registered voters.
What is it? You're the lawyer.
It doesn't.
Want me to guess? I mean, is it 3,000 or 300,000?
I don't know. For purposes of the argument, it doesn't matter. It's a matter of principle. And the principle is that the old precincts.
So let's say it's 50,000.
Let's say
you go get 50,000 from Old 2 that's inside New 3.
Right.
And 50,000.
No, Old 2, period, regardless of where it is.
Okay. And then we hold an election just in Old 2.
Correct.
And that, if it passes, that turns Old 2 wet.
Correct. Unless there's municipalities that voted otherwise, and there's case law about that, but that's not part of this case.
Okay, so what if Old 3, I don't know what's beyond this map, but what if...
Other counties. I think that's Dallas County.
Well, I presume. But, I mean, what if Old 3 overlaps other precincts or other districts? I mean, doesn't this have a domino effect where then if lines have been redrawn in the old district, then you're going to have to go into that other district to get...
No. Because the only thing that matters is that the old precincts rules control for purposes of local option elections, or their voting controls for purposes of local option elections.
So your position is, once there's been an election in a JP precinct, from now until the second coming, the elections will always have to be on those boundary lines.
That is what the Constitution requires. And that is what Attorney General J.M. 1177, in looking at 25180, said was the law.
Well, what's the problem with just with calling, having new precinct call the election, petition and call the election, and then looking where the votes, and then applying that election as a whole to the old historic districts and making determinations based on those old districts?
Because those old districts aren't a part of the precinct where the election is.
But you can define, but we know where they are, and you'll know where the votes come from, so you just apply the votes from the old districts to determine whether they vote themselves wet.
If those old precincts get a petition, the commissioner's court will call the election in those old precincts. But those old precincts can't vote if they're not within the borders of the petition that's calling the vote, which is Modern Precinct 3. Is that answering the justice's question?
So you have three elections then?
No. If what they are doing is wanting to solely have this in Precinct 3, I'm not sure how that would be done. What they need to do is go to the old precincts that voted dry.
Let me get my question now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished.
No. So you'd have three elections. You'd have one in Old 3, one in Old 2, and then one in the portion of New 3 that hasn't voted yet.
That portion has voted. Are you talking about the blue?
Blue.
Through municipal election, that area is wet.
Okay. So then you have two elections. You have election in Old 2 and Old 3.
Correct.
To determine if those parts of New 3 will go wet.
To determine if the entire precinct of Old 2.
Okay, right. Exactly. And my understanding is they don't necessarily disagree with that. Where y'all part ways is over where the signatures have to come from to call the election in those old precincts, in those old districts.
Well, in this case, the reason the signatures were where they are is because that's where they limited it. They didn't have to limit it there.
But I'm trying to find points of agreement here.
Okay, cool.
I think you both agree that the election has to take place in the old lines.
No, we don't agree on that. What they're suggesting is that the election take place in the old lines and new Precinct 3. Pages.
No, that's just because they happen to overlap. I mean,
no, because there are portions of the new Precinct 3 that have nothing to do with those old precincts.
Maybe my question's confusing.
Okay.
I thought they agreed that the election would have to be in all of old Precinct 2 and all of old Precinct 3.
They did say that, but they go ahead with the
and
question.
You don't disagree with that?
Petition?
No. Again, I'm trying to get to that point.
Okay. No,
I do not. You both agree the election should take place in the entire old districts.
Correct.
Your point
I agree with that, yes.
Your point of disagreement is where the signatures have to be drawn to petition those elections in those old districts.
In part, yes. In part. It's not just the signatures, and maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but it's also the application, it's also the notice of the election, and it's also the commissioner's court order.
Flesh out the exhibit in your...
Repeat that again, please.
Flesh out for us. Okay. Interpret that for us.
The bench exhibit, we chose, and I think it's reasonable. We actually discussed whether or not we should do this in the identical manner that the petitioners have done it. We chose to do it in the Venn diagram because what they have done can apply to all 250-plus counties in the state of Texas. They've gotten qualified voters that we know are in the green, if you call that green new precinct 3. We do not know if those qualified voters are qualified to vote in old precinct A. It was never done. Nobody looked it up. Nobody asked. And the application had nothing to do with the old precinct. Then they sought a petition. The petition, we know those people live in the green new precinct 3. What we don't know is if those petitioners have anything to do, if they live in the old precinct 2 or 3 or not. We just don't know. Then they seek, they also had the notice in the newspaper. The notice said new precinct 3. There's no notice of anybody who lives here outside of the new precinct that there's going to be an election for purposes of selling alcohol. What we have is a break in the continuity of the way this process works. And that is that the same people who are qualified to vote are the ones who are qualified to sign the petition, who are the ones who receive the notice, who are the ones qualified to file the application with the county clerk.
Okay, but once an election is held under their scheme, which would encompass this whole rectangle.
It appears that way, yeah.
If these people in the middle voted dry, then that old precinct A would remain dry.
That's right? I believe that would be the case. And the same, and by the same token, I think if that happens, what would then happen is you'd get somebody who would seek to open up some kind of beverage store or sell alcoholic beverages within that area, and we'd be right back here before this court.
Why?
Because that's where the 100 years of cases happen.
Those voters have voted wet.
It's too late.
No, it's not too late, because that election would not change the old precinct, because the election, I believe, would be found void, because the commissioner's court would have called an election for an area greater than that for which they had jurisdiction. The petition gives them the jurisdiction to only call it in precinct 3, and that's it.
Well, why wouldn't that be challenged before the election?
I don't know where it would be challenged. The first time the commissioner's court heard it was when it was in open session, which is transcribed in your briefs.
We're going to have an election.
I'm sorry, counsel.
Commissioner's court says we're going to have an election. It's posted for November 2nd, 1996.
Right.
And a citizen says, no, you can't have this election. It's not valid based on whatever decision you made. Why wouldn't a challenge come then?
Could. That's possible. I could see the interest groups that I'm certain oppose this election that could well do that. That's correct. But the biggest concern, and I'm now speaking as counsel for the commissioner's court, the biggest concern is that this election go through and then it's found to be void, which has happened.
Well, if we say the election can go forward and it's a proper election, it's not going to be held void. If it is, then it comes back up here and we say what we said before. No, it's fine. The election's fine. So, I mean, we can decide this question now, it seems to me.
You can certainly decide the question now, and if you decide it that way, frankly, this court would be going against its own precedent, the Constitution,
well, there's
statutes.
Tell us the case that has decided this issue before.
This particular issue as to whether or not Let me back up. I'll answer it a different way, if I may. And if I'm not answering it, stop me and we'll try
again. What's the case that compels us to answer it the way you think it must be answered?
I think it's a series of cases that say that all local option elections to vote wet must be held precisely in the precinct that initially voted them dry. Numerous cases, even from this court, the Houchins versus Plano's case, which we cite in our briefs.
And if we say that's the case, then they need to go back, get new petitions in each of the old precincts,
correct,
go to those commissioners and ask those old precincts to vote.
Correct. Correct.
Those commissioners just being the county commissioners.
The commissioners that, when I speak of commissioners today, yes, it's the county commissioners from Dallas County, correct. Correct. I think the case law is very clear on this issue. It starts with the Constitution, which quite clearly says the election shall be held in such county, or such precinct, referencing the precincts that voted them dry. That led to 25180. The Texas Alcohol Beverage Code, which the Attorney General has said is not only constitutional, keeping in mind that one of their prayers is to ask that it be found unconstitutional, but that it requires all elections to vote wet be held where they were previously voted dry in the historical precincts. This court has said in Houchins, there's other cases that I have found, the Fields case, which was in 1905, says that those precincts do exist for purposes of local options elections. Why? Because the Constitution says the elections will be held in such precincts. The statutory law is clear. 25180 is very clear in saying that they are held in the old precincts. 25173 is clear. The smaller areas prevail. You cannot have Precinct 2 and Precinct 3, Old 2 and Old 3, vote on a petition that has only been noticed, applied for, and signed by residents of New Precinct 3. It goes against the continuity of the election code. The Attorney General's are clear. The Attorney General opinions are clear. In both DM 44 and in JM 1177, they're quite clear in saying the elections to go dry must be held in those precincts that were initially found them to be dry. The case law we've talked about, the Ex parte Fields case, 86 Southwest 1022. There the court said, and it was out of Texas Criminal Appeals, that these precincts continue to exist. They are not some ghostly precinct for purposes of local option elections. They continue to exist for purposes of local option elections. This court in Houchins versus Planos said the very same thing. These precincts continue to exist for purposes of local option election. Coker versus TABC out of Dallas County said the same thing. This particular court looked at an individual seeking to own a store and said the same thing. The old precincts, regardless of what has happened afterwards, the old precincts rule. I could go on and on with the case law that has held that. And what they're seeking to do is erase that century of case law, the last 40 years of Attorney General's opinions, as well as the statutes that have been held constitutional by Attorney General's opinions, in one order. And there would be absolutely no continuity in the law relative to local option elections. Yes, sir.
We've had a lot of signatures. Have we checked those to see whether there's sufficient number in O2?
It wouldn't matter because they're only seeking an election in existing O3. So, no, we have not.
What would prohibit them from amending their request and saying, okay, do it in O2?
Well, there are certain dates and guidelines within the election code that makes that existing petition stale now. So, no. If ultimately the question is it our opinion that they have now wasted their time and money in putting this together, I'm afraid so, yes. I'm afraid so. And it's while that's not a good thing, this kind of thing relative to people opening businesses is done every day, where somebody's seeking to start some kind of alcohol related business, goes to the public libraries, sends us a Public Information Act request, counsels with our Public Works and Elections Department, finds out what's dry, and only then, as part of their due diligence, opens up their store. This is done all the time. And it could have been done here and was not. I don't know why not. I wasn't privy to
the meetings. Could have sent you a Freedom of Information request asking, and I mean, it looked like the statute, the commissioners are the ones that have to designate what the old boundaries of two were.
That is their responsibility under 25180, correct?
So Freedom of Information request is not going to do that.
No, but what they can do is seek to draw them up and present them to the commissioner's court. And the commissioners, that's basically what happened here. It wasn't with the Public Information Act request. But the inner workings of the system was such that the people working for the petitioners worked with Dallas County officials in Public Works, the Election Department, and the District Attorney's Office, and put together the boundaries of pre-existing 2 and 3, and the Commissioner's Court then in their order said, okay, those are the pre-existing boundaries. And that's what could have happened here, either before the
got their petitions.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, sir.
Before they got their petition.
They could have certainly done it before the petition. There is absolutely, they frequently cite in their briefs that it must be done afterwards. I don't see where that's the case. 25180 tells the Commissioner's Court to draw these historic precincts. And they could have done that before the petition came out, before the money was spent, before the qualification application came in.
Mr. Perry, forgive me for how this may sound very simple, but I'm just trying to get it all straight in my in my noggin. Okay, assume the entire this entire courtroom is an old precinct. The entire area here is an old precinct under this roof. Behind that rail, boundaries are redrawn, lines are redrawn, and now behind that rail is a new precinct. So everybody in the audience is a new precinct, and we on this side are no longer, we're still in the old, but not part of the new. But before people can vote wet sitting in the audience, we have to be able to vote on whether the audience can go wet.
Correct. That is the law. And one may decide that that's not perhaps what they like to see, but it stems from the very precise language in the Constitution. Yes. Yes, Your Honor, that is the law.
Any further questions?
I see my time's up. Thank you very much for your time.
Respond, Mr. Enoch, to the assertion that if you were to prevail, your client were to prevail, the Constitution would be thrown on its heels and a 100-year law of court precedent would be undermined and overturned and so forth and so on.
Your Honor, the short answer is I don't see that happening, but I think I have a somewhat of an answer for that. The legislature specifically authorizes the commissioner's court to redraw, for the purposes of the local option election, the territory that would include the qualified voters. They make the argument that they don't have a jurisdiction to call for an election outside the existing boundaries of Curtin Precinct 3. They have specific statutory authorization to do so. And it's also helpful, Your Honor, in answering that particular question about the Constitution, is to divorce the question of petitions, which simply show voter interest, from the right of someone to vote on that issue. The argument they make is, well, not everybody in the historic area had the opportunity, I guess, to sign the petition. But they do get the opportunity, as the Constitution requires.
Their argument is there was people outside Historic 2 signed the petition.
There is the only thing that happens in the historic districts is who's qualified to vote in the election. It says nothing about who petitions for that election.
But their argument, there's nothing that would prevent you from, all right, we've got the boundaries drawn now. Go back and get your petitions from Old 2 and hold. They say they'll hold the election in Old 2. What's wrong with that?
Well, Your Honor, the chief election officer of this state in the record has said the only authority that the chief election officer of this state has is to certify elections based on petitions drawn from existing precincts and the qualified voters in those precincts. So you end up with an impossibility if you hold with the commissioner's position that petitions must be gathered in a precinct that no longer exists.
The elections officer won't certify.
The elections officer will not certify that. But you don't have to reach that question because the petitions are simply showing voter interest. Precinct 3 has a voter interest. The Constitution says precincts have the right to vote in a local option election. The election officer certified the interest of the voters in Precinct 3 is to hold the election. There's a caveat. The Constitution also says, well, actually, if I'd been on the court 100 years ago, I might have said the Constitution looked forward, not backward. I might not have chosen, as the legislature did, to make historic districts always have to vote. But be that as it may, the legislature made its choice, which was to say, okay, Constitution says it's got to be that district vote. So the qualified voters, regardless of what the new boundaries are, the qualified voters that will determine the outcome with respect to this territory will encompass more. It's an enfranchising right, not a disenfranchising right. The only way the county gets to where they say, we've got to draw the lines first, but in their briefing, as we respond, they say they don't have jurisdiction to call the election until there's a properly certified call. But then they tell you, but we would have jurisdiction to redraw the lines before there's a certified call. They're coming and going.
Council, the county also seems to be arguing that the petition not just shows voter interest, but the petition sets the boundaries, the jurisdiction for the vote.
That was my point, Your Honor. Specifically authorized, irrespective of the petition, the commissioners are specifically authorized with respect to this circumstance to hold a local option election within the territory defined by the commissioner's court as constituting the original tract. They are specifically authorized by statute, uniquely to this one situation, to do the following.
Voter interest, precinct 3. It happens to have some old historic voting pattern to prohibit. They must be allowed to vote. The qualified voters for the majority here, the qualified voters for the majority here. And when they're counted, based on their precincts, where they are located, will determine the outcome of the election. Consistent with the Constitution, not impossible by the Constitution, and consistent by the statute.
I'm having a very difficult time understanding the point of disagreement here. You're saying these old districts, they all get to vote.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And they're saying they all get to vote.
Yes, Your Honor.
So the point is the process by which they get to vote? And so, I mean,
I don't know,
Your Honor. They didn't step through the hoops, is what they're saying. They didn't get the right petitions from
only... my understanding is it goes beyond petitions. That if it's all Precinct 3, you got to... Whether the signatures come from all of Old Precinct 3 or just that little portion, let's say that doesn't matter. But the election has to be held in Old Precinct 3. And I think I understand them to say that the commissioners in new Precinct 3 cannot order an election in old Precinct 3. Am I hearing that right?
Your Honor, I don't really understand some of their argument. As I read their brief, they say that because we got the petition in Precinct 3, we did not get a proper petition to hold a wet dry election in Precinct 3 because the qualified voters will be the historic districts. We must have gotten the petition in the historic district, wherever that may be. And I understand them to say because we didn't get a proper petition, they don't have to order the election. But I heard the argument you did, Your Honor. I think they agree that's how you hold the election. I think it's an abuse of their discretion not to order it.
And your point is they can draw the boundaries for the election based upon your petition.
No,
where
Your
you
Honor.
Got the signatures
no,
from.
Because we're entitled to call the election Precinct 3, by law, they're required, if within the precinct where we've properly called the election, they determine there is territory that had originally voted dry, they have an obligation to make sure that the voters of the territory vote in that precinct election. It's we haven't limited who the qualified voters are. We've simply called for an election in a precinct that by statute necessarily incorporates additional qualified voters for the purposes of determining the outcome of the election.
So you both agree that all the old precinct voters get to vote?
Yes, Your Honor, with one, as I understand the Constitution and their legislation, it determines the majority vote, so you will have a different impact depending on the vote in the orange and the green as to whether there was a majority of the voters of that particular area.
Right, but everybody agrees that all voters in the old precincts get to vote. You just disagree as to how you go about
it. The reason I stumble on it, Your Honor, at the commissioner's court hearing, they insisted on only allowing the vote in old precinct 2. We have vehemently taken the position, no, that's not the way this works. So they originally took the position that only precinct 2 gets to vote, the old precinct 2, and our position is, no, that's not the way
it works. Your position is not just old precinct 2, but old precinct 3 as well.
That's correct, because those are territories that are dry within the precinct that's calling the election.
So you both agree on who gets to vote?
I agree with you on who gets to vote, and I think when he got up here today, he said that. I haven't heard, you know, the fact they haven't called it makes me wonder what they really agree to. But I agree with what you're saying. That's our position, and I think I heard him say that's their position. We just apparently used the wrong petition.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That cause is submitted. That concludes arguments for this morning, and the marshal will adjourn the court.
All rise. Oh, yay, oh, yay, oh, yay. The Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned.